Happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers in this place. Can we just celebrate the mothers that are here? We thank you so much for all that you do for us, the love, the care, and the support. We've always heard about mommy's boy and not daddy's boy, so meaning you do a good job, so thank you. Thank you so very much. All right. So this morning, I want to start before we get into the service. I want to begin by just giving us an update as a church concerning Pastors Walker and Haley, and especially Pastor Haley. So you all know that Pastor Walker is with Pastor Haley right now in Austin, Texas. And so we had a chat with them, and they sent us some communication. The first thing they actually said before anything else is that they miss all of you so much, and that you are dearly in their hearts and to their hearts. So this is the message that they sent. So I want to read everything and not say what I want to say. They said, "Thank you so much for your overwhelming love, support, and prayers during this time. We know we are not facing this alone. Thanks for the texts, the songs, the prayers, and the emojis. We are separated by the Atlantic Ocean, but we know that our hearts are together with you. It is wonderful to visit with our kids as Tim, Hannah, and Jessica joined us for a week in April, and we have so much family support here also." So the previous picture that you saw was Pastor Hedy, Pastor Walker, Tim, Hannah, and Jessica. I think they were having some fun and walking as PH is successfully recovering. Pastor Haley's second chemotherapy session went well on Wednesday, and the doctors are happy with the progress. She is following the doctor's instructions on her diet, exercise, as well as rest. We are receiving communion every morning, so they are receiving communion every morning as we keep our eyes on Jesus, our Savior, the great physician, and the one who bore all our sicknesses and disease in his body on the cross. PH is healed of the Lord, and that is the report we believe. He said it, we believe it, because he moves the impossible. He moves mountains and makes miracles and moves the impossible. Furthermore, they said, "Keep following Jesus and let his word dwell richly in you. We love you very much, and we'll see you soon, Pastors Walker and Haley Shares." So that is the current update regarding Pastor Haley, who's receiving her chemotherapy in the USA. So thank you so much for your love, church. We are grateful for the love that you're showing towards our senior pastors. They are our pastors, and I'm glad that you've taken responsibility of them by praying with them and sending them as many songs as we've been sending them. So today I continue with the sermon series which Pastor Benjamin had introduced last week from the book of Proverbs. And while Pastor Benjamin was ministering last week, he endeavored to explain to us about wisdom and where wisdom comes from, what wisdom looks like to us as believers. He explained the source of wisdom, how godly wisdom looks like. I do remember some of his illustrations, and I hope that people are stopping on the four-way stop this time around. You're not just cruising through, you are stopping your cars. Your car will switch off to still be able to stop and then move on. So I hope you are practicing some of that wisdom. And then secondly, he also did introduce the book of Proverbs, that we can be reading one chapter every particular day. So I hope people are reading the book of Proverbs. One chapter per day for the next 31 days. One capsule of wisdom and knowledge makes you wiser. So you can take that every single day. And today I will be taking you in one of the areas of wisdom from the Bible, which is wisdom for generosity. Wisdom for generosity. Now, generosity is the ability to willingly give. It is given that is done by one's own desire, not as a result of a requirement or a demand. It is a choice of being liberal. Generosity is a choice of being liberal. Now, you would realize that if you start getting into the scriptures from the book of Proverbs, that there are a few things which Proverbs emphasizes and considers as generosity, and that's what we'll be looking at. I'm not here to necessarily talk about giving of tithes and offerings, though obviously we'll talk about giving as part of the message. But from the book of Proverbs, there is particular wisdom for us from God concerning generosity. This is why I put one of these definitions I love, which is that generosity is the ability to willingly give. It is giving that is done by one's desire and not as a requirement or as a demand. It is a choice of someone being liberal. That is generosity. Now turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Proverbs 11, verse 24. The Bible says, there is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Now, when I was looking through this particular passage of Scripture, just trying to see what it really means, trying to get some words from it, one of the things I noticed is the word that's used there where the Bible says there is one who scatters, yet increases. In Hebrew, it's poza. Poza, you don't have to write the Hebrew word. In Hebrew, it's poza. It means to disperse. It means to give broadly. It means to give more than enough. It is giving that is going into different directions. So one of the illustrations that is used here is where the Israelites would attack an army, and then they would disperse the people. Sorry, they would attack another nation, conquer it, and then disperse the people that were there. Meaning, there is impact after the act of the dispersement. So therefore, the giving here, or the generosity, is generosity that leaves impact. So there is one who scatters yet increases. Meaning there is one who releases what they have. It makes impact, but they still increase. Now, number one thing that we see from this passage of Scripture is that generosity is not meeting everyone's needs. Generosity is not meeting everyone's needs. Understand this, that as a believer, it is impractical for you to respond to all people's needs. But you need to be generous enough to know what needs you are to respond to. As a believer, it is impractical to meet all needs or to be generous enough towards everything and everyone. But you need to be discerning enough. You need to be intentional enough to define what you will be generous for or towards, or what needs you respond to. Now, in my definition, I did mention that generosity is going over and above. It's not given as a result of what is required of us or what is expected of us, but generosity is given beyond what is expected of us. It is going beyond our responsibility. Tithes and offerings, giving of tithes and offerings, especially to us as Miracle Life Family Church, is not necessarily generosity. It is our responsibility. Giving of tithes and offerings is not necessarily an act of generosity. You're not being generous to the church. You're not being kind to the church. You're not being nice to the church. But you are actually fulfilling your obligation and responsibility as a member of Miracle Life Family Church. This is our church. When we talk about the church is not Pastor Walker and Pastor Haley. They are not here right now, but we are gathered here, isn't it? When they went and they left, we all didn't stop gathering because they are not here. The building doors, the doors to the building were not closed. Why? Because the church is us. We are Miracle Life Family Church. So we are responsible for ensuring that our tithes and offerings are helping and supporting the work that we are doing continue going forward. Paying your employees their salaries is not generosity. It is your responsibility. Paying people that you owe money is not generosity. It is your responsibility. When you have a person that works for you in your home, paying them well is not generosity. I'll say it in our language, in Bemba. It's not my language. I'm Tonga, but I grew up in the Copper Belt, so I speak more Bemba. So I'll say it in Bemba, and then I'll translate in English. We pay you well. Your friends don't get paid well. No. It is your responsibility to pay those that work for you very well. That is not generosity. Generosity is when we give over and above. Where when I have paid you, then I also choose to give you a 5 kwacha on top. I'm not saying go and give 5 kwachas. I'm just giving as an illustration. That is generosity. It's when we begin to go over and above. Tithes and offerings, we are to give them because we are co-laborers with God. We are blessed by God to have opportunities for jobs, and He gives us skill sets that we use in turn to cooperate and work with Him for the fulfillment of His work here on earth. Giving tithes and offerings should be seen as a privilege, because God entrusts you to be His co-laborer and His co-worker. I've heard some religions where people talk about how that religion gives so much than we give. I don't want to mention the religion, but you know that religion where people like to make reference. Hey, they give a lot, they give a lot. Do you know why those give a lot? They don't give necessarily because they are being generous, though we've been misled that it's generosity. It is because that's what they use to appease whatever they consider as their God and gain favor before its sight. That's why they give. People go to their gates and they gather at their gates to receive alms. And the people that are giving, they give in a particular season. It is a season in which they are appeasing a God. That is not generosity. That's legalistic giving that is prescribed by someone. That is legalistic giving that is prescribed by someone. There is nothing wrong. From this scripture, we also see that there is nothing wrong with withholding. However, the key is how much you withhold. Some people give more than they should, while others withhold more than they should. This passage of scripture shows us something as well. When it comes to generosity, it doesn't mean you have to give away everything. It doesn't mean you need to give away all that you have. But it is important to determine how much you will give. There is nothing wrong with you withholding some of your increase, but there is everything wrong with you withholding all of your increase. There's nothing wrong, but how much you withhold is what is critical and what is important. Last week, Pastor Benjamin spoke and said that you can't get your whole entire gratuity and take your family to Dubai and finish it and come back. There is... He said it, so I'll say what he said. That is foolishness. There's no wisdom in that. However, you must determine from that portion that you have, how much am I going to give from what I have? That's why the Bible in 2 Corinthians says, God gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Meaning you are the one who must define what is the seed from this income that I must eat, or from this money that I must, what is this, the food that I must eat, and the seed that I must sow. Meaning you are responsible for the giving. No one forces you to give. You are responsible to decide the level of generosity that you want to engage yourself in. The second thing to learn from the book of Proverbs concerning generosity is that generosity is a character and belief issue. Generosity is a character and a belief issue. If you have got the wrong belief system about money, you cannot be generous. Generosity is at the core of who we are. The Bible in Proverbs 21, verse 25 to 26, the Bible says, "The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare." The righteous gives and does not spare. That's from NKJV. NLT says, "Despite their desires, the lazy will come to ruin, for their hands refuse to work. Some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give." The Easy English Version says this way, "Lazy people refuse to work. They will die before they need to die. They think only about what they would like to have, but a good man gives away his money, and he does not count the cost." He gives away his money and does not count his cost. You see, sometimes, especially, I'll give an example, being in a place like Miracle Life Family Church. It's a very big church, so many people, about 6,000 people, over hundreds of big cars parked outside there. It is possible that we can have an attitude to think that I don't have enough to give, but I would rather that one who drives a bigger car gives because they have more money than me. But you know what Proverbs is saying? A lazy man talks like that. Why don't you also go and work hard so you can have more and give like that other person? It is not about how much the other person gives. It's about how much you yourself purposes in your heart to decide to give. If you have a belief system that I don't have enough, others have more than enough, and they are the ones who are giving, you will never be generous. But if you have a belief system of saying, whatever I have, I will share. It doesn't matter what I have. What I have is important and it can make a difference. You will be generous. Most of the times, the reason why we do not give is because we look at the other person. And also let me say this. The mindset that we usually have, that because I've given tithes and offerings to the church, I cannot help another person. I'll let the church help. But who's the church? Are we not the church? We are the ones that are to be generous, not the church building or structure. We are the ones that are to be generous. If you do not have what to give, do not always make an excuse that I don't have enough to give because I don't have a job. Find something to do. Slash if you need to slash. I was impressed and excited when I heard how children from M Kids were rising up to the occasion to give towards the buildings that we were building just recently. Children. One of them I hear was saying that, Mommy, I want to go to church. I want to go and see what they have done with my money. He came to inspect, and he had chores that he was engaging himself in, washing dishes more than what was expected of him. Why? Because he wanted to have something to give. A lazy man is the one that always says, I don't have anything to give. It's a lazy man. Right? Lazy man is the one who says, I don't have to give. If you believe that what you also, the other thing to note from this scripture is this, that if you believe that what you have is because you work hard for it and not that the Lord gave you, you will have issues with letting it go. If you always believe that the money that you have, you worked hard for it. You know, I work hard. I go in the morning to the office. You know, I sweat for my money. You don't know what I go through. They shout at me for this money that I make. You will have a problem to give because you don't consider that it is God that gave you. There is nothing that you and I have that we have in by ourselves. Whatever we have is because the Lord has given us. Even the very breath that you use to go to the office, it is God that gave you that life. So we give because the Lord gave us. So if you have a character and a mindset that thinks that it's your work that makes you have what you have, you find you struggle to give. The second thing is, if you have issues with trusting in God's ability to provide, it is impossible for you to give. If you're always counting, from this 10,000 kwacha that I have, if I remove a 500 kwacha, I remain with 9,500, then I will not have for what I want to do. You will not give. You will not be generous. It will be very difficult for you to be generous. Why? Because you are trusting in yourself. And we'll look at it as we the message unfolds. You are trusting in your own ability and not trusting that it is God who gave you the grace for you to do the work that you did and he was able to provide for you. Here is something you also need to understand. Do you know that your job doesn't provide for you? There is no job that can provide for you. God uses your job or your business as an avenue or a platform to provide for you. He says that he is your provider. So he uses that as a platform. You are praying and you are believing God for a financial breakthrough. He won't send money from heaven. How is God going to send that money? He's going to create a business opportunity, a job opportunity, or anything where you are going to have income. And so therefore, when you have that mindset that all I have is because the Lord gave me, you will not struggle with being generous. Because you realize God was generous enough to me and therefore I will be generous enough to other people as well. Belief systems are at the core of our ability to be generous or not. The more generous you are, the more you will be entrusted with much. For he who is faithful with little will be lord over much. Being generous is a sign of faithfulness. A character of faithfulness. A thankful character is a generous character. One who withholds more than enough is not only just being stingy, but does not have a good character. It is not of a good character. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. Proverbs 11, verse 28, the Bible says, "He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage." Do you see that? He who trusts in his riches will fall. You cannot trust in your bank account. There is a day that comes where your bank account cannot save you. It can't deliver you. But he who trusts in the Lord is one who is safe and secure. A person whose character is that the money I have, you know, if your significance comes from your money, it is difficult to let it go. Because you're scared. Once I remove some, the identity that is associated to this that I have, when it goes, I will no longer be that. Generosity is at the core of our character and our belief systems. Do not trust. How do you know that you do not have trust in your riches? It is when you are always looking to save in every cent and every way, every quarter, and not even thinking of being liberal to others. You know you are not walking in generosity. Know that you are not walking in generosity. The third thing to learn from the book of Proverbs. So the first thing we talked about is generosity is not meeting everyone's needs. You cannot meet everyone's needs. It's not possible. But at least be sure to know some needs you can meet. The second thing is generosity is a character and belief issue. Number three, generosity is both of the heart and the mind. Generosity is both of the heart and the mind. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. Proverbs 11, verse 25. The generous sow will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The people will curse him who withholds grain, but blessing will be on the head of he who sells it. The generous sow will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered. You see, from this passage of scripture, when I was also looking at it, I saw that the word sow, nephesh, is what it's called in Hebrew, nephesh. It means life. So where it says the generous life, the generous lifestyle. Now, we know that a person is made of spirit, soul, and body. That's not what I'm teaching. But in the soul is where our intellect sits, our mind sits, our emotions sit. And so when we are to be generous, our generosity will require us to engage both mentally and with our heart. We don't just give haphazardly. To be generous does not mean give without thinking. Generosity doesn't mean giving without thinking. It involves you, yes, you being moved with compassion, but also engaging with your mental faculty, reasoning, thinking through as you are giving. That's what makes you become intentional, and that is what makes it become a lifestyle. So we can say a generous lifestyle will be made rich. Place that word so with lifestyle. The generous lifestyle will be made rich. So this generosity that leads to prosperity or being rich is not a once-off generosity where you give and you start holding tabs. I gave. God, why am I not receiving? I gave. Why am I not receiving? I gave. Why am I not receiving? No. The generous lifestyle will be made rich. Generous lifestyle. It's from the essence of your being. From the essence of who you are. You make it a part of your lifestyle. That is what leads to being made rich. That is what leads to being made rich. You know, when I was younger in the faith, I just used to give. You know, every time a pastor preached a very powerful sermon that moved my emotions, I ran to the front and I would give. And I was a very frustrated giver because I had given, and every time I gave, I walked. You know, remember one time my parents, when I was in uni, would send me transport money for a particular month. And I remember that time the church was doing a construction somewhere, and then they called for people to give. And they were calling for big pledges, 100, 50, and all of that, you know. So when they got, because I was receiving all my money at once. So when they got a particular amount, you know, I think that was like 3,000 kwacha. 3,000 kwacha, I even stood up. And I went in confidence. And I left it in front. You know, I was very happy that I had given money and the Lord was going to give, bless me, you know. And I assure you that I walked that entire semester. I walked. I'm not joking. But I think it was also the period of time that I actually memorized a lot of scriptures. Because then I would do Psalms 91, you know, Psalms 23, just be memorizing the scriptures. Why? Because I gave and was keeping tabs on God. That's not the type of giving that is talked about there. It is when it becomes a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. So it doesn't even matter how much is being given. But what is impossible, what is important is that consistent lifestyle of being generous. A legalistic giver cannot be moved with compassion. They can never give over and above. If you're a legalistic giver, one that gives and is waiting to be given, you cannot give over and above. A legalistic giver cannot give over and above. To be generous, you need not to have a lot, but you need to be empathetic enough to bless others. To be generous, you need not to have a lot, but you need to be empathetic enough to bless others. If someone needs a 1,000 kwacha and you give them one kwacha, how much does that leave them with? 999 kwacha, isn't it? It makes a difference. So it's not so much of how much you have, but it's being empathetic towards other people. When we talk about giving, it's both of the heart and the mind. We're talking about putting yourself in other people's shoes, engaging. You know, the Bible in the book of Proverbs says this, when a brother comes to you and they tell you that they are hungry, you can't just tell them, go brother, be filled and be well. What do? You give them food. And I said this last time, I'll still say it again. I find it strange whenever we pray that God even bless those who don't have food with food. Why don't we just give them if we know them? Why don't we just give them? Why should we pray for them? We'll pray a few of their tummies. They want to eat prayers, isn't it? Because if you don't eat prayers, you eat food. But why do you expect they will enjoy prayers and they will have them for breakfast, lunch, and supper? So we are just to be generous. So let's think of giving. So that's why this is of more thinking and engaging with the heart. So we reason, we plan it out. We don't just give haphazardly, but we plan it out. Generosity requires being intentional. It doesn't happen haphazardly, but it must be a well thought through process in life. Now, if you're going to give anything worthwhile and you're moved by empathy, here's something that you need to do as a measurement. I love what Reverend Alan Spiegel said when he was here. He said, a sacrifice is not a sacrifice because you chose something over something else. But a sacrifice is a sacrifice because you have chosen something of more value over something of value. A sacrifice is a sacrifice when you choose something of value, of more value, over something that is of value. So generosity means I choose to sacrifice something that is of value for something that I deem to be of more value. I choose not to take a trip to Dubai so that I can help that cousin or that brother have their heart transplant operation successful or surgery successfully. I choose not to buy an iPhone 11 Pro, 12 Pro, I don't even know where we are now. I choose not to buy the latest iPhone, but I'd rather see a young student have their school fees paid for the entire semester. I choose to sacrifice something of value, because that iPhone is of value. It's nice, it's beautiful. Let me say this. Do you know that mostly people who like to say, how can you spend money? How can you spend so much money on a phone when you could actually just go and buy a phone, an Itel phone? You know, I'm not disrespecting people with Itels, all right? You can just buy an Itel phone, and why are you going to spend 33,000 kwacha on a phone? You see, that is a poverty mindset. Because a poverty mindset looks at the cost of something and not at the value of something. Value of something. People don't spend money on things. They spend on the value that things give them. How could you take your family to Dubai for a holiday? Why didn't you just buy a plot? You have issues. Serious issues. It is the thinking and the character at the core of your being that is questioning somebody's decision of the value they have placed on the trip to Dubai. They want to go and bond with their family. They want to get closer to their family. They want to enjoy time with their wife. There is nothing wrong. The reason why you have a problem is because you can't afford it. If you did, you were not going to complain. That's the actual truth. Because if you had that kind of money, you would be in the same position. You would go to Dubai and then even buy a plot. You don't even know, maybe they have houses. I'm not saying people should be careless with their endings. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying it is the value of something that would determine someone's ability to be generous or to let go. So if you place value on other people, you place value on meeting people's needs, you will not feel the pain of letting go, no matter how much you're letting go. Because you've placed value on that person, that student. You've placed value on that person having a successful heart surgery. That's what will lead you to being generous. So let's not just always tell each other, the Lord fill you, my brother. But let's engage, all right? You know, when I was growing up in Kitwe, Ghana, I used to be specific, across the road where I used to stay, we used to have a big bare land. And I think, I would say it belongs to CEC, Copper Belt Energy Corporation. It was just across our streets. And then there used to be electricity lines that used to, that passed there. It's still the same up to now. So I would always go there with my mom, my sisters. I'm born in a family of five. The only man of the family, the rest are sisters, obviously. So, yeah. So we would go together to the field, you know. And when we'll be in the field, planting groundnuts, because I love groundnuts. I love, I don't love raw groundnuts, but I love boiled, but somebody has to peel them for me. So that's a job that my, that's a job that my, my niece has, you know. She's always peeling them for me. So because I don't like to do that, you know. And I also love the fried groundnuts, dry fried, and I also get dry groundnuts, put them in water, and then boil them again. I just like that, right? So even growing up, we'd go into the field, and all I'd be thinking about is wanting to eat those groundnuts, you know. So when we harvest, we get bags of groundnuts, and we take them outside, take them to the house, and then we'd put them on the roof in sacks so that they can dry. Now, every time I had an issue, because there were these one or two sacks that my mother would always say, these one, don't touch them. And I'm wondering, but the groundnuts in the other side are finishing, and we need to eat these groundnuts also. And my love of groundnuts, you know. And one thing I noticed is when she was separating the bags, she was not getting the groundnuts which she saw that were rotten. She put them in one bag. And the ones that were considered to be good groundnuts, she sets them aside. No, she would just separate the groundnuts as they were. And every single time the next planting season comes, my mother would always ask us to now get that bag. And actually, she would keep it in the bedroom, I've remembered. So she would ask us to get it out of the bedroom, or because we would eat them. So get them out of the bedroom. Mothers, we love you. Get it out of the bedroom. Get it out of the bedroom. And then we would get the groundnuts. And then we would start peeling them to go and plant again. We were not using rotten groundnuts to plant for the next harvest. We were using quality premium groundnuts, which I could even eat to plant for the next season. The seed that you sow will determine the harvest that you will receive. It was not just so much about the groundnuts, but the principle was the fact that you always need to determine what is seed enough for me to preserve so I can use it for my generosity. That's why I say generosity must be planned. You must be intentional and plan for it. Give things of quality. Right now we are having the winter, is it winter donation? You know, don't go and pull that blanket that keeps you cold in the night. It's the one you want to give, the finished one. Get the one from Woolies. And that top-notch one that you have, that one, that one. That's the one you must give. You see, giving or being generous sometimes will lead you to a place of uncomfortability. It will cause you to be in a place of uncomfortability. That's why it says a generous soul. You are letting go something that is of your life, something that you treasure, something that you value, something that you really hold dear to your heart. That is what you choose to give. So pick the best jacket and give it. Don't give a shoe which already gets water inside when you are walking yourself. Do not give such things. That is not generosity. Generosity is choosing the best and giving it away. God was generous enough. He chose the best and he gave us the best, who is Jesus Christ. We are here because God gave his best sacrifice. He didn't send an angel. He gave us his best sacrifice. Therefore, in our DNA as Christians, those that are born again, the righteous, we already have that capacity to be generous. What we just need is to let our hearts and minds be in sync. That's all that we need. Number four, generosity is a sign of honor to the Lord. Generosity is a sign of honor to the Lord. God answers prayers through people. Anytime we are generous to others, we are honoring the Lord. It is a sign of gratitude to what God has done. God answers prayers through people. Our generosity helps us to fulfill Philippians 4 verse 19. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Our generosity helps us to answer people's prayers. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns shall be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. In the Passion Translation, it says, glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits, with every increase that comes to you. Now, here the wisdom to get is, we are not saying every time there is a salary increase, then you have to get that increase and bring it to church. That's not necessarily what is being said here. Is in as much, just as much as you are receiving increase, consider increasing your generosity as well. Consider to increase your generosity. Be generous even to those that work for you. You know, someone has been working for you for the past 5 years, and they've been getting paid 1,000 kwacha. While for you, who keeps on getting a 15% increase, you're complaining about the economy status. I'll leave it there. The Passion Translation says, glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your first fruits, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessing from an uncontained source of inner joy. Now, why should we be generous? Number one, because God answers prayers through people. Generosity is us helping people have their prayers answered. Proverbs 19, verse 17. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. He will pay back what he has given. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that you've lent God and now you're waiting for him to pay back, literally as pay back, even put a pay debt. This is not what it means. But it just means that you're actually sowing to the Lord himself and he will give you back. He will give you back. The biggest reason why we need to be generous as Christians is because that is how God uses people to answer prayers. That's the biggest reason. We must be conscious. Let me just say this. It's not part of this, but let me say this. When it comes to prayer, you will do a series in prayer soon. When it comes to prayer, there are two wheels of prayer that are always at work. There is the will of God, but there is also the will of man. We always only look at God's will. Yes, God is always willing and able to provide, but are men willing and able to cooperate with God and have their hearts stirred to also give so that the two wheels can come into enforcement? So we are to do that because that's one way in which we honor our God. Who should we be generous to? We are to be generous to our immediate family and to our extended family. Let it not be said of us Miracle Life family members, Miracle Life Family Church members, that we are some of those who they say they only buy expensive coffins, but are never there for people while people are alive. Be intentional about checking on the state of your extended, your family. Take care of your children. Take care of your family. There is everything wrong with you as a father having the most expensive perfumes in the house while everyone else is struggling, even just with a simple shot. That's wrong. Start from within your own home. Do not be stingy within your own home. Generosity must start from within your own home. It must start from within your own home. And then secondly, we are to be generous to our extended families, our parents, our cousins, our brothers. We are a family. That's a nuclear family. Be generous to them. Now, to those who are, I want to use a different word. To those who are of the extended family, that's a better word. To those who are of an extended family, you do not have an entitlement to the next person's income. It's not your money. So even if they don't give you, don't take offense. I just want to say this so that you don't go home or that person comes home and then harasses you to say, but at church they said you must give your family members. That's not what I'm saying. They are not entitled. It's not a must. It's not a must. However, I am saying to those that have, be generous to your extended family. And if you're a young person, you know, you're in here and you're a young person and you're being kept in a particular home, you know, consider that as generosity. Consider it as generosity. You know, you're eating the same food with them. They're not putting you in your room alone while you're eating bread. Buns, you know, I said buns without anything. But they give you bread with butter and poloni and all of those beautiful things. You know, that's generosity enough. You are not to place any demands. You don't have a right to place demands. However, to those that are the owners, please be generous. Be generous to your extended family. And don't see it as doing them a favor. True generosity is when we give to people who we know cannot give us. That's true generosity. It is when we give to people who we know. That's why the Bible says, he who gives to the poor. You know, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says, he who gives to the rich, there is one who gives to the rich or extorts the rich to give to the poor, but yet he becomes even more poorer. There's a proverb that you'll find it. There is one who extorts the poor to give to the rich, yet he becomes even more poorer. The second thing is we are to be generous towards fellow believers. Let's be generous towards one another. Let's be sensitive towards one another's needs. Let's be sensitive towards one another's needs. When people explain, let's not just say, let's pray quickly. If you've got a one kwacha, give. It doesn't matter. You know, when I used to work for a chat meeting as an accountant, working in the accounts department, the Lord had asked me to leave that work about 10 years ago and then go into the ministry. And so I went into the ministry, obviously expecting things would change quickly, resigned, gave away most of the stuff that I was instructed to give, and some shoes I loved the most, you know, I gave them away. And now I just saw 1 year passed. There was no change. And I'd been in the mountain, I had been praying, believing God, you know. Things were not changing. Life became so hard that I got to a place where I began to learn how to believe God for five kwacha. For 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kwacha. Those 5 coins, I began to believe God for them. And I would not even have talk time sometimes. It was so hard, you know. Coming from a life where you would blow 1,000 in a day and even wonder, where did it go? You have to get a receipt, the receipts to count where the money went, to a life where you don't even have any money. And I was just so much in faith. One day, someone came in church, a sister was talking. She said, "No, Brother Paul, how are you? I just wanted to bless you. I don't know if you saw how my shoes were looking. I don't know, but she decided to be generous towards me. And she gave me a 5 kwacha. But do you know what I did? I got that 5 kwacha and I removed tithe. And I didn't remove 1/15 way. I decided to remove 3 kwacha as my tithe. I didn't have talk time. And I bought 2 kwacha. I bought talk time. I didn't have much, but I was generous enough to decide to say, you know what, let me give to the house of the Lord. That sister that gave met my need, and my need was used for me to also go and do something. And so, let's be generous towards other believers. Don't just say that one wears the same shoe over and over. Have you asked why they wear the same shoe over and over? You don't want to bring them close because they will embarrass you with their worn-out suit. But why do they wear a worn-out suit? Let's be generous to one another's needs. If you have got 100 pairs of shoes, when will you wear them? When will you wear them? Decide to be generous enough. All right? The other people that we should be generous to are the less privileged, the poor. The poor people around us. It's not the church's responsibility to help the poor. I gave tithe and offering in a church. The church will give these poor people I've met in the streets. No, we are to be generous to the poor. We've seen it throughout Proverbs. We are to be generous towards the poor. And finally, we are to be generous to those we call our friends. We are to be generous to those we call our friends. Lastly, but not the least, we are to be generous towards the work of God. We are to be generous towards the work of God. Now, what are the benefits or biblical benefits for generosity? Number one, generosity will attract generosity. Proverbs 11 verse 25 says, "He who watered will himself be watered." It comes back at us. You know, if there is any best karma that you must believe in, it's this one. This is the best karma you must believe in. Not that someone hurt you, so then you're believing for them to be hurt. No, this is the karma you must believe in. It will come right back to me, this one. This is the one that you must believe in. So generosity attracts generosity. That's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 25. A generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Generosity attracts generosity. And then the second thing is that generosity attracts a blessing from the Lord. Generosity will attract a blessing from the Lord. Proverbs 22, verse 9. Proverbs 22, verse 9. He who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives of his bread to the poor. And you see where it says he who has a generous eye. Literally, you can just say he who has generous eyes, one who sees. Just literally, we can say that. One who sees. He gives and he will be blessed. It attracts a blessing. Proverbs 22 verse 9, just that one, the other scripture is for something else. He who has a generous eye will be blessed himself, for he gives bread to the poor. The benefit of being generous is that God will bless us. He who is faithful with little will be entrusted with much more. Being generous is a sign of being a faithful steward of God. The more you are faithful with what God has given you, generosity is a key, and it's important to build your faithfulness. The more you are faithful with what the Lord has given you, he will entrust you with more. Every time you have an increase, the increase is so that you can be a better and a much more effective steward of God. The increase is not so much that you can go and spend more, but also consider, how can I be generous from what I have? How can I be generous from what I have? Now, as we draw towards the end of this message and service today, Proverbs 21 verse 27 says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with a wicked intent?" What God wants of us is he wants of us to give ourselves first before we can give of our substance. He wants us to give of ourselves first before we can give of our substance. The wicked are wicked because they don't have Christ in them. They don't have Jesus in them. We who are born again are considered as the wicked. However, both the wicked and the righteous, the intention of your giving is very critical. It is very critical. That's why the Lord wants to give you give of yourself first before you can give anything. Now I'm just going to ask the church to just bow down their heads right now. And I want us to reflect concerning how we've been living with our money, with our substance. How have we been generous? And if there is need and an opportunity for you to repent before the Lord, and repentance doesn't necessarily mean you start begging God for forgiveness, but it's searching yourself from within and see where you fit in from some of the things that I've mentioned that have been inhibiting you from being generous, and you've decided not to be generous. Maybe you've not been generous to your family. Maybe you've not been generous to your friends, to other believers. Maybe you were even burnt in the past because you gave to someone and that person hurt you so much and decided that you will never give again. It's an opportunity for you to just repent before the Lord right now and ask God to give you grace to begin or start afresh. Now, like I said, every giving is only worthwhile before the Lord if the giver is accepted before the Lord first. God wants people to be saved. He wants people more than he wants their giving. It is not your giving that makes God happy. It is your life being in Christ and making yourself right before God that makes you happy. Then you can go ahead and be giving, and your giving will make the Lord happy. As there is no amount of giving that can buy someone salvation or make God happy.